Welcome to the teleconference on Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, 8th Chapter, by His Holiness Bhakti Charaswami. Today's call will last 1 hour, and for 40 minutes Guru Maharaj will be speaking. After that, there will be an opportunity to ask questions, and at the appropriate time, I'll invite you to ask the questions, and I'll tell you how you can do that. So right now, if you would like to respond to Guru Maharaj whilst it's in mute mode, you can just dial *6 to unmute your line. So Guru Maharaj is addressing you now. So please dial *6 if you would like to respond. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. How is everybody? So I'm sorry. Yesterday I was actually flying to America. That's why I couldn't give that class. So it had to be postponed today. And I'm sorry that I can't maintain the regularity because of my very unpredictable travel schedule. And it's very, very hectic. Like, I wish that I was at one place, then very easily I could have maintained the regularity of the classes. And because of meetings, because of travels, like, I'm not able to give the class every Saturday as I planned originally. Anyway, I'm happy to be with you all. Anand, how many participants are there today?
Guru Maharaj, there are about 25 lines connected now.
25 lines connected. Okay, thank you. I'm in New York now. I came here yesterday, and the next 3 weeks I'll be in America. And so those who are in America, maybe at some point I'll be able to meet you, either in New York or in Florida. So today's class is on the 8th chapter of the 1st canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Like, this 8th chapter is beginning with the description that how the Pandavas went to the Ganges after the battle of Kurukshetra, like, to do tarpan. Tarpan is a ceremony where they offer Ganges water, or they go to a holy river and offer water to the departed souls for the departed relatives, for their spiritual well-being. So Pandavas also did that. We can see that these customs are prevalent since time immemorial. Like, even 5,000 years ago, after the battle of Kurukshetra, when the relatives, many of the practically intact Kuru dynasty was annihilated, then the Pandavas went to the Ganges with all the family members. Dhritarashtra, blind father of the Kauravas, were there. Gandhari was there, Draupadi was there, Krishna was there, and all the sages also assembled there at that time. Like exalted personalities like Pulastha, Pulaha, Vashishta, Vishwamitra, Gautam, Angira. So all these great personalities also assembled. And the relatives, the Pandavas, and especially the women, were lamenting. Dhritarashtra, the father, lost all her 100 sons. I mean, he was so ambitious that his son would rule the kingdom, and he tried all kinds of deceitful means to deprive the Pandavas of their rightful share and reinstate his children as the kings of the kingdom. And now his ambition is shattered, but all his children are dead. Father of 100 sons, and in just this 18 days of battle, all his 100 sons are dead. And what to speak of their wives, those who became widows. What to speak of Gandhari, the mother of the 100 sons. Although she was extremely wise, but still one cannot avoid these emotions when one loses her dear ones. And so they were grieving, they were lamenting. And at that time, Krishna gave them the spiritual advice. And also the sages also gave them the advice to console them and inform them about the law of this material nature established by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And everyone is subjected to the reactions of his actions. Nothing happens in this material nature by chance. Everything happens by the divine arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Not that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is making the arrangement. The Supreme Personality have set the rules, and the living entities have their independence. They can act according to their own free will, and accordingly they get the reactions. And it is due to the reactions of their actions they either enjoy or suffer. And the ultimate consideration is that in this material nature, everyone is subjected to the principles of birth, death, old age and disease. Anyone who is born is bound to die. Who can avoid this law? Jatasri dhruvam mrittur, dhruvam jamma mrittasya. Whoever is born is bound to die. No one will be able to do anything about it. One may live for a long, long time and someone else may live for a very short while. But the law of this nature is that everybody has to die. Now, the Kshatriyas consider that the death in a battlefield is glorious for them. Krishna told Arjuna that Sukhina Kshatriya Partha Labhante Yuddha Midrisham, that when a Kshatriya gets the opportunity to fight a battle like this, he becomes very, very happy, Sukhina. He becomes very happy that he got, and it is due to, and he considers that it's due to his good fortune that he got an opportunity like this to fight a battle. Why? Because jitva ba bhokshashi mahim, hato ba prapshashi sargam. If you die, hatoba, if you die, then you'll be elevated to the heavenly planets. And if you are alive, and if you win the battle, then bhokshashi mahim, you will enjoy this earth planet. Therefore, for a kshatriya, there is no loss to go to a battle. Because in the battle, he'll either win or he will die. So that is the spirit of a kshatriya. He goes to the battlefield either to win or to die. Now, either way, he is glorious. Either way, it's beneficial for him. If he wins the battle, then he will enjoy this mahim. Mahim is, mahi is the earth planet. If you win, if you are alive, if you win the battle, then you will enjoy the earth planet, bhokshashe mahim. And hotoba, but if you die, then you will be elevated to the heavenly planet. So there is no loss. Therefore, a battle like this is glorious. Battle like this is considered to be a stroke of good fortune for a kshatriya. So this is the wisdom that one receives from the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the saintly personalities who are situated in knowledge. And that's what Krishna actually advised them. And he himself, these people are so fortunate, these Pandavas, the family members of the Pandavas are so fortunate, directly receiving the instruction from Krishna. Of course, we are also very fortunate because we have also received these instructions directly from Krishna, from Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is words of Krishna himself. There is no difference between Krishna himself speaking, standing in front of us, and we reading Bhagavad Gita. Because while we are reading Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is actually standing in front of us. We can visually see that Krishna, if we are pure enough, then we can see that Krishna in the battlefield of Kurukshetra instructing Arjuna. And that is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu acclaimed. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu praised the South Indian Brahmana, who was apparently he was illiterate. But because of the purity of his soul, whenever he opened Bhagavad Gita, he could actually see Krishna in the battlefield of Kurukshetra personally giving these instructions to Arjuna. And he could hear these instructions from Arjuna. This is the purity. This is the result of the purity of the soul. This knowledge is not a matter of acquiring something, acquiring by means of our material wisdom, material knowledge, material learning. And materially, one may be illiterate. But due to his spiritual purity, spiritual clarity, he could see that Krishna is standing there and giving these instructions personally to Arjuna. In this way, we have to consider that we are also very, very fortunate that by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, we are listening to Krishna. We are able to listen to Krishna and receive the knowledge directly from Krishna. So, after that, Krishna actually made Yudhishthira Maharaj perform three horse sacrifices, Ashwamedh Yagya. One Ashwamedh Yagya actually makes one the ruler of the earth planet. Because that yagya, that sacrifice, brings all the rulers of the earth planet under one's subjugation, under one's control. So that is the purpose of Ashwamedh Yagya. So Krishna made Yudhishthira Maharaj perform three such Ashwamedh Yagyas. Like he became three times the ruler of the earth planet. How it is done? Because he sends the challenge horse, the sacrificial horse. The horse traverses throughout the planet. Wherever he goes, whichever kingdom he enters, the king has to either accept the authority of or sovereignty, the subordination of the ruling king, the who sent the horse, or he must challenge him in a battle. So if the sender of the horse, his soldier is defeated in the battle, then he can't perform the yagya. So in this way, through this horse sacrifice, he establishes his sovereignty, the sender of the challenge horse, sovereignty over all the kings of the earth planet. Then only this yagya can be performed. Now, Yudhishthira Maharaj performed three such Ashwamedh yagya. And Yudhishthira Maharaj was actually very, very upset because he considered that he was the cause of this destruction, devastation. But actually that was not true. Yudhishthira Maharaj didn't want to fight. Like time and time again they have been deceived. Duryodhan was so evil that even as a child he was trying to destroy them, annihilate them, get rid of them. As a child, he tried to poison Bhima. Then the plan was, if Bhima is dead, then he can take care of everybody else, all the other four brothers. Then they made arrangements to burn them alive in a house of shellacks. It's something like a house made of fiberglass. So this palace was built out of fiberglass, shellac, and or resin. The common word for that is actually resin. The house was built with resins, and resins, you know, is extremely inflammable. All it needs is just a little fire, and the whole thing would have been burnt to ashes in no time. But there is a saying, when Krishna protects, who can kill? So Krishna was protecting the Pandavas. Therefore, the Pandavas escaped from all these dangers time and time again. But then, although they survived, but they did not dare to go, or they decided not to go to the kingdom, because then Duryodhana would have become even more envious, even more violent, even more aggressive. So that's why they just kept on traveling in the guise of five Brahmana boys with their mother. But then in Draupadi Swayambara, their identity became revealed. When all the kings and princes failed to mark, hit the target as it was arranged by King Drupada for Draupadi's Swayambara, the only person who could hit the target was Arjuna. And then everybody realized eventually that this was Arjuna, and the Pandavas were still alive. Drupada and Bhishma and Dronacharya also had a strong conviction that the Pandavas were still alive. Vidura actually made the arrangements for them to escape. So Drupada actually thought that Pandavas are still alive because they are not destined to die prematurely like that. Therefore, and he wanted Draupadi to be married to Arjuna. So he made a condition that only Arjuna could actually fulfill. A kind of a target by shooting an arrow that Arjuna only could fulfill, looking down on a pool of water kept on a pot, kept on a metal plate, and looking down at the reflection, one had to shoot the arrow piercing the fish or the eye of a fish, and there was a disc rotating with a hole in it in one end. So the synchronizing had to be in such a way that the arrow had to go through the revolving disc through the hole and hit the target. And when everyone failed, Drishtadyumna, Draupadi's brother, announced that since all the Kshatriyas have failed, if any Brahmana would give it a try. And at that time, Arjuna stood up and he hit the target. And in this way, he won Draupadi. And then Drupada sent Drishtadyumna to look and find out who this person is who actually won Draupadi. And at night, following them, he came to their house where they were staying, in the house of a clay pot maker. They were staying. And in a poor man's house, in a poverty-stricken condition, they were living. But when they were talking at night, from hearing them, Drishtadyumna recognized that these are not Brahmanas, these are Kshatriyas. Because all throughout the night, all they talked about is weapons and different army arrangements and all kinds of things. Only that Kshatriyas could discuss about. And then Vasudev actually disclosed to them that it's actually, these are the five Pandavas. And they went back, and then Vasudev, Bhishma, and other senior members advised Dhritarashtra, give them their share back. Half the kingdom, give it to them. But when Dhritarashtra gave, he gave them a barren piece of land, Khandaprastha. There was nothing. It was just some barren desert and jungles. But the influence of a saintly personality is so high, so wonderful, that because the Pandavas settled down, that whole place became full of prosperity. Became extremely prosperous. Because the Pandavas settled there, they built a beautiful city, and that city was designed, the Vastu aspect was established by Vasudev himself. Then Vishwakarma built us and built the assembly hall. And it was an amazing city that came up in no time. And the Brahmanas wanted to be with them. So many, many Brahmanas went and settled down there. Then Kshatriyas, of course, the Pandavas' allies and their followers, they came and settled down there. The Vaishyas thought that this is a very good opportunity to do business, so they also came and settled down there. So in this way, in no time, this whole place became full, so full of prosperity, and Duryodhana became envious. And then in a deceitful game of dice, he actually defeated the Pandavas. And as a result of that, for 14 years, they had to, for 12 years, they had to go to exile. And after the exile for 1 year, they had to remain incognito. And the condition was that during that 1 year period, if any of those personalities were recognized, if any of the five brothers and Draupadi was recognized, then the condition will repeat. That means they have to go to another 12 years of exile in a forest and 1 year remain incognito. Duryodhana was convinced that Pandavas are so famous that they won't be able to hide themselves. They won't be able to hide their identity. Within 1 year's time, they'll be recognized. But again, by Krishna's mercy and by Jamaraj's blessings, and no one could recognize them. Jamaraj actually gave them the blessings that even if you do not hide, even if you remain in your own identity, even if you remain in the major cities, still nobody will be able to recognize you during this 1 year period of time. So this is the blessing of exalted personalities. When the exalted spiritual personalities are pleased and give their blessings, those blessings come true. So, then after 13 years, the Pandavas came and asked for their kingdom. But Duryodhana refused to give their fair share. Duryodhana was so confident that he would be able to defeat the Pandavas that he would not even give them five villages for the five brothers. That was Krishna's proposal. Krishna went to them and made a proposal that to avoid the battle, please give them just five. You don't have to give them half the kingdom. Just give them five villages. But Duryodhana was not willing to accept that proposal. So as a result of that, the battle was inevitable. It was not that the Pandavas wanted the battle. Duryodhana forced them into that battle. But Yudhishthira Maharaj was such a saintly personality that he took the blame upon himself. He didn't consider, well, I did not challenge them. They challenged me and now the battle was fought and all these people are dead. He didn't think that. He thought that because I am the king, it is due to me that this massacre took place. And he blamed himself for that. So anyway, Krishna advised Yudhishthira Maharaj to perform three house sacrifices and established Yudhishthira Maharaj as the ruler of the earth planet in that way. And then when Krishna was about to leave for Dwarka, he was already on his chariot. But at that time he saw that Uttara, Abhimanyu's wife, who was carrying Abhimanyu's son in her womb, the only surviving member of the Pandava line. The Kuru dynasty was completely annihilated. All the sons of Dhritarashtra were dead, and their children also were dead. Everyone, all the male members of the family were dead. And the Pandav side also, all the five Pandavas' sons were dead. The only surviving member of the family or the successor was in the womb of Uttara, the wife of Abhimanyu, Subhadra's son, Arjuna and Subhadra's son. And Uttara came running because she could see that a terrible fiery weapon is coming towards her. She could understand that this weapon's purpose was to destroy the womb, destroy the embryo in her womb. So she appealed to Krishna, running to Krishna, that, "Krishna, please, if I have to die, I don't mind, but please save this child of mine." And Krishna would understand that this was another deceitful act, another heinous act of Ashwatthama. Although Ashwatthama was forgiven by Draupadi, although Ashwatthama's life was spared by the Pandavas, although he released Brahmastra before without knowing how to release it, now again he used the Brahmastra. We can see that what a cruel person he was and what a vengeful person he was. He was acting in this way because of his love for Duryodhan. He loved Duryodhan. And when he saw that Duryodhan was defeated in the battle, Bhima broke his thigh, broke his hip, and he was lying there. Dashatma became extremely very vengeful. And time again, this vengeance was coming out. Now, this is, at this time, it is coming out, you know, with a desire to annihilate the entire dynasty. Let there not be any surviving member in the family. So this child is there in the womb of Uttara, and he used Brahmastra, the most deadly weapon, to kill him, to destroy the embryo. But then Krishna, who is famous for his Bhakta Vatsala attitude, who is famous for his protecting attitude towards his devotees, he just released his Sudarshan Chakra. And the Sudarshan Chakra actually foiled the Brahmastra. Which weapon can stand in front of Krishna's Sudarshan Chakra? So this is how Parikshit Maharaj, who was in the womb of Uttara, was saved by Krishna. And Parikshit Maharaj also saw Krishna in the womb of his mother. When he was in the womb of his mother, he saw Krishna protecting him from this terrible weapon. And so in this way, Uttara, the mother of Parikshit Maharaj, was saved along with her child. We can see that Ashwatthama was Mahabharata actually reveals such amazing characters Like, there are glorious characters, individuals like Yudhishthira Maharaj, Arjuna, Bhima, Vyasadeva, Narad Muni, Vidura, Kunti Devi, Gandhari, and what to speak of Krishna himself. In one hand, we see such amazingly brilliant, most exalted spiritual personalities. But at the other side, we can see such vengeful, degraded, deceitful personalities like Duryodhana, Karna, Shakuni, and Ashwatthama. Like, he is such a personality. Like, after the battle was over, at night he went into the Pandava camp along with Kripacharya and Kritavarma, only three surviving members from the surviving generals of the Kaurava side. And at night, after the victory, everyone was peacefully sleeping at night. Ashwatthama went and killed them. And that night he was empowered by Lord Shiva's potency, Rudra, destructive potency of Lord Shiva. That night he was invincible. Nobody could defeat him. And entered into the camp when they were sleeping without any weapon, and peacefully, after 18 days of fierce battle, when they're peacefully sleeping at night, he went and just slaughtered them. And out of them, it's understandable he had his grievance against Drishtadyumna, whom he killed first. It is understandable because Drishtadyumna, in a deceitful way, killed his father, Dronacharya. But Draupadi's five sons, out of five Pandavas, they were innocent. They didn't do anything. Their only harm was, then their only fault was that they happened to be the five sons of the five Pandavas. And when they were sleeping, Ashwatthama killed them. I mean, such vicious, villainous personality. But then again, we get to see from Srimad Bhagavatam that in the next Manvantar, this is the seventh Manvantar, in the eighth Manvantar, Ashwatthama will become one of the seven sages. You see, the greatest of all sages are these Saptarshis, seven sages. These seven sages reside in the, which is in the English astronomy is known as super constellation. In the sky, there are seven stars that are situated like a question mark. And they revolve, they rotate around the Dhruva nakshatra, Dhruva planet. Dhruva nakshatra is, or polar star, is constant, unmoving. It's just on the north side, it is just there in one place without moving. And all the other stars are moving around it. And one of the first and most prominent ones is the super constellation, the seven stars in super constellation. So these seven stars are actually the planets of seven rishis. And during the Manvantara, at the time of Manu's reign, this shift changes. Somebody becomes Indra, somebody comes and takes the position of Indra. Like in this seventh Manvantar, Vaivashvata Manvantar, Purandar is the Indra. In the eighth Manvantar, Bali Maharaj will become Indra. This is how the shift will change. Somebody will become Surya, somebody will become Pavan, somebody will become Varun. So similarly, there are seven sages. These seven sages now in this Vaivashvata Manvantara are Vashishtha, Vishwamitra. Vishwamitra, as you know, is a great warrior king who became a saintly personality. And so in this millennium, in this Manvantar, the Saptarishis are Kashyapa, Atri, Vashishtha, Vishwamitra, Gautam, Jamadagni. Jamadagni is the father of Parashuram and Bharadvaj. The seven original Saptarshis, when the creation started, were the seven sons of Brahma. Six and Vashishtha, seven sons of Brahma were Pulastha, Pulaha, Kratu, Angira, Marichi, Atri, and Vashishtha. They were the seven. Now, in the next one, next Manvantara, in the eighth Manvantara, it will be Ashwatthama will be one of the Saptarshis. So you can see that how personality's nature changes. Like Ashwatthama may have been in this way, but in future, Ashwatthama will become someone else. Ashwatthama will have some other situation. Anyway, so this is how Ashwatthama's Brahmastra was foiled and Parikshit Maharaj was saved. And then Krishna was about to leave. Then Queen Kunti actually approached Krishna. And Queen Kunti offered her prayers to Krishna. Prayers means her heartfelt feelings about Krishna. She actually expressed that. And these are the prayers of Queen Kunti. Prabhupada actually wrote one whole book on these prayers of Queen Kunti. There are 25 verses, 18th to 43rd verse are the prayers of Queen Kunti. And these are most beautiful prayers. Prabhupada himself also sang these prayers, beautiful prayers. Like Kunti Devi said, the first verse, she's offering her obeisances to Krishna. Namaste Purusham Tadvam Ishadam Prakritat Param Alaksham Sarva Bhutanam Antar Dohir Avastitam. In one hand, Kunti Devi is Krishna's aunt. Krishna is her nephew. But here she is addressing Krishna. First of all, the aunt, in the Vedic culture, the superiors do not offer obeisances or prayers to the younger ones. The younger ones offer respect and obeisances. But here she is saying that I offer namaste purusham. Namaste means let me bow down. To whom? Purusham to adhyam, the original supreme Ishwaram. Purusham Tvadam Ishwaram Prakrite Param, who is beyond this material nature. You are the supreme personality of Godhead. Purusham Adhyam, Adi Purusham, the original controller, the original supreme personality of Godhead. You are beyond this material nature. And Alaksham, you are invisible. But yet, Antarbahir, Sarvabhutanam, Antarbahir Avasthitam. You are situated within and without of every living entity. So we can see that in what kind of wisdom she had. But at the same time, we can see that she is so humble. Is he saying Netakha Paramahamsanam Muninam Amalatmanam Bhakti Yoga Vidhanartham Katham Pashyan Pashyema Histriyaha? That you yourself descend, you come to propagate the transcendental science of devotional service into the hearts of the advanced transcendentalists and mental speculators who are purified by being able to discriminate between matter and spirit. These are the amalatmanams, amalatmanam, those whose minds are competent to discern between spirit and matter because of their pure purity, amala atmanam, whose soul has become free from all material contamination. Bhakti yoga vidhanartham, for the sake of executing devotional service, in order to inspire them to become situated in devotional service. But katham pashyema hi striya, I as a woman, how can I understand you? So we can see that she is putting herself in such a humble position that, oh, I am in a woman's body, so my situation is not fit to understand you and approach you. You are the personality who is meant to be understood by the great sages and great philosophers. And in this way we can see that no, a devotee is naturally humble, but irrespective of a devotee's situation, whether he is in, she is in a woman's body, whether one is in a degraded low-class family, born in a low-class family, one is illiterate, one is unqualified, one is ugly, one is devoid of any transcendental attitude by birth and social status. Anyone can receive Krishna's mercy and understand him. But a devotee always maintains a humble position. So that is the wonderful situation of a devotee, and this is how a devotee receives the mercy of Krishna. More humble we'll become, the more eligible we'll become to receive Krishna's mercy. More arrogant we'll become devoid of Krishna's mercy. Then Kunti Devi is offering one of the most beautiful prayers: Krishnaya Vasudevaya Devaki Nandanaya cha Nanda Gopa Kumaraya Govindaya Namo Namaha. Namaha Pankaja Nabhaya Namaha Pankaja Maline Namaha Pankaja Netraya Namaste Pankajangrahe. Pankaja means lotus. So everything about Krishna is lotus-like. Pankaja Nabhaya, your navel is like lotus. Pankaja Maline, you are wearing lotus garland, garlands made of lotus. Pankaja Netraya, your eyes are like lotus. And Pankaja Angraya, your feet are like lotus. Your navel is like lotus. From that lotus navel, Brahma came out. You are wearing a lotus garland, garland made of lotus flowers. Your eyes are like lotus, and your feet are like lotuses. So in this way, she offered her most beautiful prayers to Kunti Devi, I mean, her prayers to Krishna. And anyway, read this one, and please read the prayers of Queen Kunti that Srila Prabhupada so wonderfully presented in a book. So we are running out of time. So in this way, Kunti Devi offered her prayers to Krishna, and then at the end of this chapter, there is a description how Yudhishthir Maharaj was lamenting for being the cause of such a destruction. And this is how this chapter ends. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande, Hari Hari Bo. Does anybody have any question?
Hare Krishna, everyone. As Guru Maharaj has requested, if you have any questions, please do dial *6 and you'll be placed into the queue. So dial *6 on your iPad or your keypad and you'll be placed into the queue and we can take one question at a time. Guru Maharaj, we have about 7 minutes, so unless you want to run over time.
Right, we can extend a little longer. Let's see how many questions are there.
Okay. So yeah, please dial *6 if you have any questions now. So
Hare
we
Krishna,
have.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, this is Surat Krishna Das from Australia.
Hare Surat Krishna.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj. Guru Maharaj, my question is, how can we understand whether we are becoming humble? What is the test that we need to ask every day? How can we understand
Don't worry about becoming humble, but be concerned about becoming pure. When your heart becomes pure, then you'll automatically become humble. It's not a matter of trying to become humble, right? It'll automatically happen. As you develop your devotion to Krishna, as you recognize the greatness of Krishna, then you'll automatically feel your insignificant situation. And then that will automatically make you humble. So there is no need, there is nothing to be artificially developed. There is nothing to artificially develop. It's a matter of just automatically it will happen. Try to become a good devotee. And try to develop your love for Krishna. So when you develop this love for Krishna, your heart will become purified. And it is the pure heart that is naturally humble. You got the point?
Yes. Thank you, Guru Maharaj. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Any other questions?
Yes, Guru Maharaj. We have a few more questions.
Okay.
Hare Krishna, the Skype username Namhat, please go ahead with your question.
Hare Krishna Maharaj Pranam. I just wonder why sons of Draupadi had to meet that type of fate.
Well, the actual purpose is they came to take part in Krishna's pastimes. And when the pastimes, purpose of they're like actors playing roles in a drama. So when their role was fulfilled, Krishna made arrangements for them to go back to their respective places in the spiritual world. Just like jadus, they fought with each other, getting drunk, and they killed each other. And how they killed themselves? they killed with seaweeds, like on the bank of the ocean. They grew. There are some sort of hollow weeds, and with that they fought with each other and they killed themselves. How is it possible? So in this way, we can see that these are Krishna's divine arrangement of Yogamaya to enact his pastimes. And the performers, those who play the roles in the pastimes, they're like actors. They're playing a role in a play.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Thank you, Hare Krishna.
Please identify yourself when you ask a question. Thank you.
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, Ajay Govindas here. Please accept my humble obeisances.
Thank you
so much for the wonderful class. Guru Maharaj, my question is related to the act of Bhima in the Mahabharata Yudh. So, when we see Yudhishthira Maharaj, when we see Arjun, you know, we all don't relate them that they were fighting for a cause, for the, you know, not for their personal, but it was for the society and it was a service to Krishna. But if we see act of Bhima, wherein, you know, he tears the chest of Duryodhana's brother, and then, you know, he says that I'll drink the blood and, you know, the Shasan, I will do this and that. So it looks more like of a personal revenge. How do we understand that?
Yeah, like as a Kshatriya, he has this right to, when he is treated in an inappropriate way, the Kshatriyas, in order to express their vengeance, express their anger, they do take vows like that, and they make it a point to fulfill that vow. So Bhima actually, when Dushasan treated Draupadi, he couldn't tolerate that. So he took a vow that he would drink the blood of Dushasan in the battle. And he took a vow that he would break the thigh of Duryodhana. And he actually took the vow to kill all the 100 sons of Dhritarashtra. So for a Kshatriya, it is for a Kshatriya, because they are warriors. The warriors are powerful people, and they have a nature. You see, when you are a warrior, you can't be meek and humble. A warrior has to be fiery, and that is perfectly I demonstrated by Bhima. Whereas Yudhishthira Maharaj is more of a Vaishnava, so is Arjun. Therefore, Krishna had to provoke them to do it.
Thank you, Maharaj.
Okay. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna,
okay, Hare Bol Aditya Narayan.
Please accept my humble obeisance.
Please accept.
Guru Maharaj, my question. Thank you, Guru Maharaj. My question is, here Kunti Devi is offering her prayers to Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And at other times, she is actually dealing with Krishna as her nephew, right? So, and even the Pandavas, like, you know, they treat Krishna as a friend and as their cousin. And so I'm just thinking, like, what is the role of Yogamaya here? Like, does she cover them at some times and, like, uncover them at certain times? So.
Yeah. Generally, Yogamaya is uncovering. Yogamaya is covering. But sometimes by Krishna's mercy, Krishna's identity is becoming revealed to them.
Okay.
And you see, the thing is that Yogamaya's covering means, you see, there are two kinds of covering, two kinds of ignorance, two kinds of forgetfulness, not ignorance, two kinds of forgetfulness. One kind of forgetfulness is out of ignorance, and the other kind of forgetfulness is out of love. So, out of love means it is not that they do not know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but to them it doesn't matter that He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead because of love. Especially this love, forgetfulness out of love is seen in the gopis of Vrindavan. Like, and Jogamaya, forgetfulness of Jogamaya's influence is actually, we have to understand, it is more like forgetfulness out of love than out of ignorance. It is because they have a relationship. They have a feeling of kind of, you know, intimacy with the Lord, a possessiveness about the Lord. He is mine, Krishna is mine. Krishna, not that Krishna is God, but Krishna is mind. So Prabhupada is explaining that point. Maya means material attachment. Maya means attachment. So Jogamaya is the attachment to Krishna. And having a feeling, this attachment is making one feel that Krishna is mind. Not that Krishna is God, but Krishna is mind. Krishna is my brother. Krishna is my friend. Krishna is my nephew. Krishna is my father. Krishna is my son. Like that. That is the influence of Jogamaya. Yes, this arrangement is made by Jogamaya.
So mostly they are aware of Krishna's Supreme Personality of Godhead, but the intimacy is like more strong.
Is exactly. Just like you see, the son has become a state president. Now, does the mother treat him like a state president, or the mother treat him like a son?
Yeah, like her own son.
Huh?
Like her own son.
Yes, as her own son. That's the thing. That's the relationship.
Thank you so much, Guru Maharaj.
Hare Krishna, Jai Srila Prabhupada. Yeah. Any other question?
Hare Krishna, okay, Guru Maharaj.
Yeah.
This is Rajashekhar Das from Australia. Please accept my humble obeisances.
Jai Srila Prabhupada.
Guru Maharaj, just referring back to the earlier question, on the other day I was reading in Bhagavad Gita about how Srila Prabhupada mentions about direct relationship between Krishna and his devotees. And here we see Kunti Murani is offering her prayers, wonderful prayers to Krishna. And we see that, on the other side is that Yashoda Maya, in that Krishna's pastimes, they are forgetful of, forgetful of the fact that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But here, yeah, Kunti Murani is actually offering the prayers, being aware of, you know, him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So what sort of relationship does Kunti Murani have? Like, in which rasa does it come under? Is it parental as well?
It's parental rasa, but in awe and reverence. You see, in Vrindavan, it is madhurya. It is intimacy, right?
Yes.
Prem. But in Vaikuntha, it is awe and reverence. Love and awe and reverence, right?
Yes.
So, this Kunti Devi's relationship is with Krishna in Vaikuntha mood, in awe and reverence. But yet, she had a very intimate relationship, which is unlike Vaikuntha. In Vaikuntha, no one is Krishna's aunt. But Kunti Devi is Krishna's aunt.
Yes.
Hari Bol. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj.
Just a moment. Hari Bol, come in. I'm in a class. I'm giving a class. Yeah, go ahead.
That answers your question.
You see, there are two types of relationship. One is of Vaikuntha and one is of Vrindavan. But Dwarka is somewhat between Vaikuntha and Vrindavan. Right?
Okay.
It's not quite yes. Vaikuntha-like, and it's also not quite Vrindavan-like.
So Guru Maharaj, the characters in Mahabharata, then they're kind of in, you know, that Vaikuntha platform, is it? Oh, like
Mahabharata, yeah, it's more of a Dwarka mode, Kurukshetra mode, Hastinapur okay. mode. Relationship is there with Krishna, but,
yes.
you know, it is awe and reverence is there. Like they know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whereas in Vrindavan, that awareness is missing.
Yes, Guru. Thank you, Guru Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. Dhanavad Pranam.
Hare Bol.
Guru Maharaj, I am Ankit Vora from USA. Guru Maharaj, my question is, in the Damodar Leela, Nand Maharaj is having like thousands and thousands of cows. Then why Mother Yashoda had to leave Krishna while feeding her and go to just take off the milk?
Yeah, that's why Krishna got upset and he broke the pot.
Okay.
He was thinking that what's the big deal about that milk that's boiling on the pot? I'm drinking your milk and I was enjoying it so much. Now you deprived me of that and you went to attend that milk that is boiling. So that's why Krishna got upset and he broke the pot and did all kinds of naughty things, breaking the butter pots and so forth.
Okay. Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, so, Atma, any more questions or should I stop?
Guru Maharaj, there's one more question.
Okay.
Guru Maharaj, please accept my humble obeisances to your lotus feet. This is Nanda Dulal from Richmond.
Hi, yes, Nanda Dulal.
Thank you, Guru Maharaj, taking all the troubles. I know that you know you came in a evening time in a jet lag. Still, you gave the classes, It shows in how much mercy you have. I have two questions, Guru Maharaj, if you allow me.
Yeah, sure.
But first question is that Prabhupada often tells us, you know, to pray to Lord. But we don't have any vocabulary or the feelings. But we see that, you know, great personalities in Srimad Bhagavatam, they are praying. Now, there are two types of prayers. One is that, you know, they ask something, like Nuttara is asking, Pahi Pahi Mahajogin. Devo Devo Jagatpati Nainam Tuvadabhan Pashya Jatta Mitu Parashparam. She is asking to save her. And
yeah.
We see Arjuna also asking in Bhagavad Gita that Lord, please help me. I'm bewildered. But one other way, that Prahlad Maharaj, he never asked for any protection. So which prayer we should, you know, do? Because we are so much unfortunate and, you know, ignorant.
Yes. Yeah. Therefore, you see, Mahajano Jano Gatasya Pantha. We learn to follow the footsteps of the Mahajans. Like Prahlad Maharaj is a Mahajan. Our business is to follow his footsteps. But, you know, the examples of Uttara, Arjuna is there. And if we have some need to be fulfilled, if we have some desire to be fulfilled, then yes, we can ask Krishna for that. There is no harm. But at an advanced stage, you see, this is how we can see the degree of advancement. At a most advanced stage, one doesn't ask anything from Krishna, rather wants to give something to Krishna. But at a less advanced stage, one may ask, but that's fine also. Like if you're a child, you behave in a certain way, and when you grow up, then you behave in another way. So spiritually, if we are children, then we will behave in a certain way. There's no harm in that.
Thank you, Guru Maharaj. And my second question is that, you know, Narad Muni is asking, Janatana Prakarana Manu Krishna Nibeshaya, how to do that? Because we are
that is jatkarosi, jadasnasi, jadjuhosi, dadasi. When you're eating, you remember Krishna, how this is Krishna Prasad. When you are working, you consider how this work is actually meant for Krishna's pleasure. So this is the meaning of jena teno prakarena. Whatever you're doing, just try to recognize that you're doing it for Krishna. Or try to make it a point that you're doing it for Krishna. The main thing is never forget Krishna. Okay.
Thank you, Maharaj. Thank you. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Gaur Premanande. Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, yes. Maharaj. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Please accept my humble obeisances. Maharaj, my question
is,
my name is Shilpa. My name is Shilpa, Maharaj. I'm from Roanoke, Virginia.
Okay.
My question is related to Buddha as an incarnation of Krishna.
Yeah.
I was reading yesterday in the Krishna book that his teachings are not followed. And
I find that
a little contradictory, because if he's an incarnation, then how come his teachings are not followed? So can you please...
He's an incarnation, no doubt, but we have to see the purpose of his incarnation. He came to bewilder the demons. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Because he came to bewilder the demons, his teachings are not meant to be followed, because Buddha's teachings are not speaking about pure devotion. Buddha's teachings are giving some moral principles. Don't eat meat, don't kill animals, speak the truth, etc. So these are the moral principles. But the actual goal of the Supreme Personality of Godhead when he comes, like he teaches living entities, paritrana sadhunam vinashayacha duskrita. So that's why Lord Buddha's incarnation has a very specific purpose. Another way to look at it is, you see, when Buddha came, he came to stop the animal sacrifice, which was going on in the name of the Vedas. So, in order to stop animal sacrifice, which was going on in the name of the Vedas, Buddha actually rejected the Vedas.
Mm.
In Buddhism, you don't find any acceptance of the Vedas. Now, the point is, if you don't accept the Vedas, how will you get to know the Supreme Personality of Godhead? So that is why Buddha's teachings are not accepted by the Vaishnavas. Because Vaishnava way of approaching the spiritual reality is through the Vedas.
Hmm.
You understand?
Yes, Maharaj. Thank you so much, Maharaj.
Okay, thank you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Hare, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj?
Yes. Hare Krishna.
Yeah. So that was all of the questions.
Yeah, good. Okay, so the broadcast was fine, huh?
Yes, your voice quality was very good. Thank you very much. Would you like to...
Yes.
Sorry, Guru Maharaj. I was going to ask, would you like to schedule the next class?
Yeah, the next Saturday we can do it.
Definitely.
Next Saturday, I'll be in... Okay, that's the thing. Next Saturday. Anyway, I will do it. Next Saturday, I'll do it.
Great, okay.
Okay,
thank you very much, Guru Maharaj. Just a couple of quick announcements.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, everyone. Thank you very much for participating in the teleconference today. And as Guru Maharaj said, the next class is tentatively scheduled for next Saturday, that is the 10th of November. So please watch out for an announcement on the Facebook page for Guru Maharaj, which is Bhakti Charu Swami. You can just do a search for that on Facebook. And also on BCS Istagosti, which is the mailing list on the PAMHO system for Guru Maharaj's well-wishers and disciples. If you'd like to join that mailing list, you can send a request to ramananda.raya.bcs@pamho.net. And if you have any feedback or questions or concerns regarding this teleconference, please email me. My name is Atma, and the email address is info@vpnglobal.org. That's info@vpnglobal.org. Okay, and the recording for this class will be published on the Google Drive, where all the other recordings are, and that you can find the link through the it is linked through the Facebook page, the event page. Okay, so that's the end of the call. Thank you very much. I'm sorry we ran over today, but I hope you found it very informative. And we look forward to having you join us again next week. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.